I was born December 1983 and I died December 2017.
You were born in January.
This is Blender Style, the show where we discuss an extreme blend of music. On this episode, the 10th album by Swedish black metal band Shining, Våg Utan Flock, released 2018. Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So I've been a fan of Shining for little before this album came out when I really got into black metal. I got into the fifth album. I think it's Halmstad or something like that. It's the city where Shining's from. The album art's fucked up. It's like someone has a gun in their mouth. Mm. It's fucked up. And the whole album's fucked up. And I love every second of it. And so when this came out in 2018, it came out in January 2018. Mm-hmm. I listened to it all that year. Ended up being the number two album for 2018 for me.
That's a bunch of shit.
What was your number one?
Number one was Sleep the Sciences, which is killer.
Total exact opposite.
Yeah, totally different albums. This one took longer to kind of marinate, I think. And I've gone back to both of those albums for sure, but I definitely went back to this one. I listen to this all the time. And I wanted to know what you guys thought about it. Nathan, you're familiar with Shining for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, man. They're like a band that's, you know, kind of coined that term of like depressive black metal, even though he rejects depressive black metal. But yeah, I've been a fan of The Shining for many years.
Casey, are you familiar with Shining?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I've been a fan for all of, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
And then there's another band called Shining from Norway that's like a jazzy art metal.
Yeah. That's who I thought this was.
Yeah. They're not as good.
Not really. I've never heard of either one.
Yeah. They don't exist.
I have so much to say about this album. I'll start with the fucking amazing drumming on this. The drumming is sick as fuck. Like at one point he does a cowbell count on the first track. There's like, he plays the rims of the drums, or he like hits the sticks together. Mm-hmm. There's like crazy ghost notes. Like the creativity on the drums alone is enough to think this album is really killer. And did you guys notice that? Like the drumming on this at all?
Yeah.
Does it stick out to you?
It does. But what's weird to me, and this makes complete sense that you're saying this because this is the type of drummer you are, is you're pretty precise and pretty
anal.
Yeah, on top. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is what this record kind of like sounds like. So for the drums, for me, like there was, it's a little too clean, too on time, too, straightforward at times. I get what you're saying. It is experimental and stuff. But with like, say, his vocals, his outbursts of these vocals that almost sound like he's preaching doesn't necessarily go with the straightforward drumming that is going on at the time.
So you're a deep black metal fan. You like the shit from the 90s, Dark Throne, Satyricon, Mayhem,
yeah,
all that shit from way back in the day. And a lot of that's really rough. And the production on this is fantastic.
Yeah.
There's bass guitar. Sure.
For sure. Well, I mean, this is definitely influenced by black metal, but this isn't like black metal to me.
It's hard to call it black metal.
Mm-hmm. I call this dark gray metal.
It's definitely experimental. It's definitely moody. It's definitely atmosphere. But at the same time, there's like kind of like a production side of it that almost kind of brightens it up.
So I kind of agree. I'm with you. I felt like the drums were really precise, to the point where I thought it was a drum machine at a lot of parts.
No.
But at the same time, I did notice a lot of like little ghost notes and weird things like that. So I was like, can you do that with a drum machine?
The creativity on the drums is outstanding.
It's pretty good. I don't think I noticed it as much as you did, but I noticed.
I've been listening to this all the time for 4 years.
I think it was the last song. I'm not even going to try to pronounce any of these.
Yeah, things. I can't pronounce any of this stuff. It's
track
all sweet.
Six. I noticed there's like this really cool like ghost note kind of roll fill thing going on in the background. I was like, oh. And then I went back and started listening to like for stuff like that. And there's a lot of little things like that, like a lot of little extra that they throw in there. That's almost like an afterthought, but it's in there.
It's impulsive.
It's in there as part of the song. It's like, did they come up with that and then go back and re-record the whole part just to put that in there? Or was that always kind of written in there?
Oh, interesting. I didn't
think of it that way, but
yeah, I wanted to talk to you guys about this to see what your like opinions of it were for sure. And it does kind of sound like how much time did they spend writing this?
Yeah, this feels like it was worked to death, but not in a bad way.
Right.
This feels like it was worked. Like they had a rough idea of where they wanted to go with it. They went and tracked it, and then they were like, "Oh, let's add this." And instead of just layering all this stuff on, I feel like they went back and just re-recorded the parts. And then they're like, "Oh, let's add some more," and they went back and re-recorded it.
So what's cool about Shining is I don't think they are ever going to come out with anything that is half-assed. I think what his main objective is to put out the best stuff I could put out at this moment. There's nothing half-ass about
it. It's way Shining. Polished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's polished, but I agree with you. I think it's been worked out. Yeah, it's been chipped away and structured.
They didn't just like record this shit live. They took their time in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's acoustic parts that mix really well within the
clean guitar parts.
Even the clean vocals and stuff.
You can hear like the pick on the guitar string.
Almost Spanish.
Yeah, guitar dude. Sound. Yes.
It's not Spanish style, but it's
like classical guitar feel.
Classical.
Yeah. And there's this cool thing with the guitars that they do in the background of a lot of these tracks where they let the guitar kind of ring out, or they just play like this really like continuous like violin style in the background, not over loud or anything, and just kind of hidden in the back there, mm-hmm. which is really cool, and it kind of adds to the ambience of the whole track.
I agree.
This has a super 90s feel to me.
What?
Kind of like a 90s industrial feel, but with a lot of modern technique thrown in there.
I feel like it's very the instruments jump out to me. It feels acoustic. There's like that piano
part. And that's what I mean. And maybe that's it. Like there's this like 90s production kind of feel.
Which happened a lot. Bands weren't afraid to mix acoustic guitar with mm-hmm. electric.
But there's also like these really cool like techniques, like with the bigger drum beats and like the rolls and stuff that you didn't hear in the music back then. So it's like this really cool mix of like modern and old to me that I thought was really cool.
One of the things that makes this not black metal, right? I would call this extreme metal.
Yeah, I wouldn't call this black
metal.
That's
like a catch-all. Mm-hmm. It definitely has like that depressive black metal element to it, especially that older Shining albums, like the fifth one, the one I really got into, that had like had movie clips where she's like talking about how she hates herself and she wants to fucking kill herself. Mm-hmm. It's like almost hard to listen to.
Well, Nicholas has talked about how he wants Shining to be a weapon for suicide.
Yeah, he's like,
he wants to.
He's fucked up. This guy's fucked up.
He, you know, the more people that, you know, kill themselves over this, the happier he is. You know,
he thinks that's like,
and the fact that he, you know, and this is kind of like where he, you know, he's shock. He's shock, like shock value. Factor. He's saying these things probably just to, you know, put on a persona. But, you know, hey, the persona's rad as shit. but yeah, you know, bring darkness, bring chaos.
He's done a lot of like side projects too. Mm-hmm. One of the bands he's involved in is Skit Live.
Yeah,
I think is how you pronounce it, with Maniac from Mayhem. Mm-hmm. And I love that band too. Mm-hmm.
He's even done things with like, you know, newer bands, not newer because they've been around forever, but like Behemoth.
Yeah.
He did some guest stuff for them. And in fact, I think Nurgle,
yeah.
You know, rips Nicholas off a little bit. If you like vocal delivery. Like, I love how sometimes, you know, the music's going, it's straightforward, it's dark, it's ominous. And then he comes out with almost like he's preaching at you. You know, he's almost like yelling and screaming at you of like, you know.
Skit Live does that a lot, where there's like actually like spoken word almost, uh-huh. like they're just talking over this. This one, he does like this. I love the vocals on this dude. He's not super like, I can't understand it because none of it's in English.
Yeah.
But like,
it's accessible.
It's even, accessible,
even
yes.
The, even the clean and unclean are not to the point where it's going to disturb somebody or turn them off of the music. Like, that's one of my things I put on here that I like is the vocal performance on this is amazing throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. He goes from like this yelling kind of growly, but
like screaming, but it's not too much,
but it's not crazy to this. But like,
he
really
is the rawest form of this.
Yeah. But then
this
he goes
is
like
a beautiful
this,
piece of music with some just,
yeah,
but he up is vocal. The nastiness.
But then it goes to like these really clean parts and his vocals clean up and he does a really good job and his clean singing is really good too.
It's mm-hmm. really good.
Yeah. There's some really good solos on this too.
For sure.
Which I wasn't expecting when this started out. I wasn't expecting to hear solos in it. And I was like, oh.
Like lead guitar parts.
Yeah. And then there's some really cool parts where they let the bass drive too and just kind of take over.
I love when the, like everything kind of stops and there's like just instrumental
yeah.
parts.
Yeah.
And like you can hear like really thick bass playing, mm-hmm. which is unusual. That's why you can't call it black metal because no, there's actually yeah. bass
I mean,
in this.
It's black metal, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you like you, this, especially this release, you know, it's almost like, you know, you have a hard time. We always come into this problem in the show is, you know, like the
how we
describe something or what we call something. You know what I mean?
So this
is so weird to me.
This was their 10th album.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I read, like I'm not familiar with the band at all, but from what I read, this was kind of return to roots for them.
Yes.
I guess their previous albums, a few of them, he tried to do in English and use a lot more synthesization and things like that. And it wasn't accepted very well by his fans or by the fans of the band. And so this was kind of their return to form, but still incorporating some of the stuff they experimented with on the previous albums.
I didn't go deep and I love this band a lot, mm-hmm. But I don't know their stuff like the back of my hand.
Okay.
That fifth album sounds like this album. And I think a lot of the fans say the two are kind of similar.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of hear it. There's like almost a formula to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's even one of the things I discovered about this band is that all their albums have six songs.
Okay.
All of them.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Which was kind of, and I was like, wait a second. So the release I listened to had eight songs, but the two that there's two covers on this, mm-hmm. In the Cold Light of Morning, which is a Placebo cover, and then Cry Little Sister, which is also a cover
from, Lost Boys?
From Lost Boys. Yeah, okay. Totally, dude. Those were like a part of a re-release. So when I first listened to this, like back when it came out,
mm-hmm.
I was listening to the version that had those other two tracks to it, which were okay. Fucking rad.
It yes. adds to it, I think.
I agree. They're definitely cool songs. I feel like I'm glad I found this out because this was more recently and like kind of doing my research on this. Is I'm kind of glad that I found out that those were additions because I do feel like the first six songs kind of work really well mm-hmm. as a package.
And that's something I put on my notes is I listened to just the six track release and then talking to you guys about the bonus tracks, I went back and listened to them and I kind of feel like they don't fit with the flow of the album.
I agree.
I feel like the In the Cold Light is a really faithful to the original cover. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's cool lyrics, dude.
It is, but I feel like the Cry Little Sister, that wasn't that good. I think the original was 100 times better.
I think it's the best cover of Cry Little Sister I've heard.
I haven't heard any other cover.
Marilyn Manson does it, too.
Oh, I think. I wouldn't assume that would be good anyway.
What'd you guys think about the piano part in the middle? I think that's a Chopin song.
Right? Yeah, so I thought it was cool, but I think it kind of slowed the flow of the album. I think it really broke it. It was good to hear like a change up like that, but at the same time I could do without it. I think that was my biggest downfall of like my biggest negative remark of this whole album was that track just because I felt like it had such good momentum going into it. And then that just kind of like, oh,
I feel you.
Maybe if they put it at the end to like close out the album, maybe, but I feel like going from that to another great song was kind of
the guy that did that, I can't pronounce his last name. His first name's like Ollie. Mm-hmm. He's worked with The Shining before on other piano stuff. He's also worked with Insepharum.
Okay.
And we reviewed one.
Yeah, we did.
We've reviewed Thalassic. Check it out. Guy's a like old, nerdy looking like piano guy that they just hire for this stuff. But he plays this piece beautifully. I think it works, dude.
I think it's a good thing. I just don't think it goes with the flow of the album. I think it would be better as like the last track.
Let me ask you this. This is all Swedish with the exception of the covers. I think he says fucking in one song, but I looked in the lyrics and I couldn't find it. So maybe it's a Swedish word that sounds like
maybe that. Maybe you said fucking.
Does that make it harder for you to like get into it all?
It didn't, because I think the music on this stood out so much. I did put a note on here that I wish I knew what he was saying.
I think the feeling of what he's giving is enough for me, and I'll imagine what he's saying.
Yeah,
I'll put my own.
That's where I'm at too.
And that's kind of totally where I'm at. I wish I knew what he was saying, but it doesn't deter me from the music because I think it was such a good release.
It's like for me, it's like listening to Rammstein. I don't need it to be in English. It's just as good in German.
These tracks are long.
Yeah.
Like, but they don't play long.
So is life.
No, my life's short.
Dude, well said, bro.
I think this is a well-executed record.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I
think the guitar playing, the leads, the piano intros, the acoustic. This is a well-thought-out chipped machine that they... this is a statue.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I think these songs are long. Holds up well. And for being six tracks, what, 41
minutes? Yeah.
The tracks are long, but they don't play long. There's enough variation throughout them that, like, I never caught myself going, oh, is this track over yet?
There's some similarities with the drums.
There is, but I don't
think... I get what you're saying that it's creative, but there were some parts where the drums
were... But I don't think there was ever a part where I was like, is this over yet?
This is so really easy for me to listen to all the way through every time.
Yeah, for sure.
I can pick any song off of this.
I don't listen to just one track off of this. If I listen to this, I listen to the whole album.
But it's easy for me to like take a song away and put it on a playlist or whatever. And
what would be a song that you would put on?
I've picked all of these and put them all on. Seriously, awesome. With the exception of maybe the Chopin like piano stuff, like all these are fucking bangers, dude. There's six songs and five bangers. 100%. Like I love every single one of these songs. 100%.
I think this is a great record, great pick.
Thank you.
I, on the other hand, think it's horribly good.
Well, what would you rate this, Casey?
I give this a 4.6 out of 5.
Wow.
I thought it was amazing. Like the first track kicks off and it has like this energy that builds up and then it kind of slows down and builds up again. And it does that through the whole album. Never heard of them. I'm stoked that you picked it because I'm totally going to go listen to more of this stuff.
I highly listen to the fifth album.
The Fifth Element?
Honestly, the discography is great. Even how you were saying that the other fan said, I think he's a true artist and what he does puts out is usually
pretty good. I mean, I think it was well produced. It had a lot of good tempo and energy to it and had some cool ambience in parts too. I mean, it was a great album.
Fucking rad.
What about you, Nate?
I give this a 4.6.
Also, shit.
I think that this is a well-painted picture of a middle finger. This is a great record, 4.6.
I give this a perfect 5 out of 5.
Oh, dang.
I fucking love this album, dude.
Now, hold on. 5 out of 5 for the 8-track release or the 6-track release?
I'm glad you asked, because originally this was a 4.9.
Mm-hmm.
But when I discovered that the two tracks were added on later,
you're like, oh, thank God.
And then I kind of reassessed it as just the six tracks. That works better to me.
Yeah, and I agree.
So it upped your rating.
It upped my rating. I didn't think they made sense in the context of the album. So knowing that those were like tacked on bonus songs.
There was probably like a re-release.
It was a re-release. And they
were like, hey, buy this record. We're putting two more songs on
it. They're good. They're great songs.
I think they're
killer.
Way good covers.
But I think without them, this album is fucking perfect, dude. Five out of five for me, guys. One of the best albums I've ever heard. Shining's the best, is my favorite black metal album or band.
I don't know if this is black metal, but I think they're amazing.
Well, you go older, you go back in their discography, it gets like more depressive and more fucked up sounding and more black metal sounding.
The
production's good, which makes me like it more.
Mm-hmm. If this is black metal, I like the fact that they don't put the singer in the hallway when he sings.
That said, my other favorite black metal band is Mayhem, and a lot of their stuff is like low production, fucked up sounding. This is fantastic, dude. This is a creative masterpiece in my opinion. Really, I love this album. I listen to it all the time, and I'm glad I I'm glad you guys appreciate it.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when you do a record like this
mm-hmm.
because there's not much to say about it other than go listen to it.
Yeah,
like this it's is not good. This is
yeah, go check it out.
This is good music created by real artists. Go check it out for sure. Good pick, Matt.
Thank you. This is Blender Style. That was Shining, Vog Unten Flock.
Vog Unten Flock.
Blender Style, the Fleshmaker.